and welcome to Volunteering Discovery. This is a podcast which takes you behind the scenes of volunteering in health and care in Norfolk and Waveney. Volunteers enhance the experience of people accessing health and care in a huge variety of ways, in our hospitals, our communities, and even from the comfort of their own homes. In each podcast, we'll be hearing from those who give their time supporting others and the people who work alongside them. I'm your host, Sarah, a volunteer coordinator working in the NHS. Why not subscribe to this podcast to make sure you hear all of the upcoming episodes in the series?
You're listening to part two of our special series on evaluation. In our last episode, we explored the process of evaluation, how we plan, structure, and set the foundation for meaningful learning. Today, we're diving deeper into the participation and practicalities of evaluation. What does it look like in action? How do we gather data that's both rigorous and relevant? And how do we make sure that volunteers, staff, and services all feel part of the journey? Producer Jules is joined in conversation by two colleagues in the Volunteering for Health programme, Daniel Schaefer, Transformation and Delivery Manager, and Sally Dyson, Voluntary Services Manager at Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital.
My name's Daniel Schaefer, and I'm a Transformation and Delivery Manager based in the Great Yarmouth and Waveney Place team. And my role within the Volunteering for Health programme and the group is really to support the development of the programme. So by that, I attend and I contribute towards the various meetings that are involved, such as the initial steering groups, the scoping groups. And I do that from two perspectives, really. I do that from a general collaborative perspective, but also I try to use the optics of where I sit in the system, so in Great Yarmouth and Waveney Place. So I try to make sure that I consider things from a general perspective, but also from what somebody from Great Yarmouth and Waveney might see and contribute.
For those people who might not be familiar with the terminology of place, would you be able to describe what you mean by that?
It's still relatively a new term, but within Norfolk and Waveney, it's split down into five geographical places, as it would be. And Great Yarmouth and Waveney is considered a place, a team. We try to consider things in a way to get the best outcomes for our local population.
So you're a member of the programme board for Volunteering for Health and have been for some time. The evaluation working group was an extra part of the programme. What made you put yourself forward to take part in that part of the programme?
Evaluation is something that I'm actually quite passionate about. I believe that anything that we should do, we should try to take the learning from. And any projects that I'm involved in, I want to consider the legacy of the project that I'm working on now and what that looks like going forward, whether that be in a year or 5 years. So when the opportunity came up to be part of the evaluation group, yeah, it really fit with how I think about programs and what I think is really important. It's important to learn.
Could you tell us about the kind of discussions which happen within the evaluation working group? What decisions are taken? How does it work in practice?
In the evaluation working group, it's very well structured, so we know what it is we're going to be considering when we come to the meetings, and hopefully we'll have had time to put some thought into the topic before we arrive. Because we're a collaborative and we all come from slightly different backgrounds, we all have different lived and work experience, and our organisations are different as well. So our optics, how we look at evaluation, is slightly different. We're halfway through the process, roughly, in terms of the working group. Discussions so far have been around the how, what, why, and when of how we're going to approach the evaluation. So that might be taking it down to the very granular detail of what do we think is achievable to evaluate, and then how are we going to do it? And that could be a very specific piece of data, or it could be something slightly larger and more qualitative personal experiences as part of the evaluations. And because we all come from different backgrounds, it's a really good collaborative conversation, and we're quite often able to think in the wider round and come to a consensus that we probably wouldn't come to on our own.
And obviously, as you said, we're still in the early stages of the evaluation process. At this point, can you see any value that the evaluation working group and the evaluation process will add to the overall programme?
As I've mentioned, it's a real good opportunity to consider what it is we want to achieve and really hone in on what actions we need to take to achieve the outcomes. by undertaking this early in the project, for example, we know we're working on what it is we want to do, how we're going to do it, and then how we're going to measure it. And if you don't have those conversations early in the process, it can cause complications further down the line. And I'm hoping by taking this approach that we're able to evidence exactly what is happening. That will shape to a certain degree the delivery of the program, but then it'll also really provide a good, stable platform for that legacy work, the learning. How can that be applied after this program is finished?
Have there been any challenges so far?
I wouldn't use the word challenge. We all have different experiences of evaluation, some more formal, some less formal. It's been a real learning opportunity for us all, I think, to look at evaluation in a bigger picture, because we've all got ideas and we all come to the table with an understanding of what it is that we want to evaluate, but then obviously coming to a consensus and really drilling that down and asking what it means and is it possible? Yes, that it's not a challenge. I view it as a positive. I view these conversations and different points of view as a real opportunity for learning.
I've really enjoyed those discussions as well. It's that gap between what we think we'll be able to get by in volunteering, but actually what is academically rigorous for us to evaluate. There's sometimes been a bit of a tension as we try and work out exactly what we can measure and what we can't and what is actually meaningful. It's been quite fascinating. Have you learned anything throughout the process about evaluation as a whole?
I've learned a lot about evaluation, certainly through, once again, going back to that collaborative approach and different perspectives. But for me, I've been learning a lot from working with Jürgen from the University of East Anglia and the approach that he's taken to the evaluation. It's been incredibly positive for me to be involved in that process, but also seeing how, from an outside perspective, seeing how that shapes how you deliver a service and how we can achieve the best outcomes for people.
Has anything surprised you during the process?
I think when a lot of people think about evaluation, they may be thinking of something less formal. They may be thinking of possibly a review of a service or a process rather than something that fits within the definition of evaluation. And to me, that's been a really interesting learning point for me and a bit of a surprise that the process has been really well formed and it's made us think about the granular detail and then build it backwards to how we approach the programme. So I think that's been really useful and it's certainly something that I will take on to other projects and use again in the future. The work and the structure and how we've approached the evaluation will be something that I take forward personally and look to incorporate in future work. The collaborative element of it, having people from different organisations and different viewpoints, is something that I've always been an advocate for, but I think in this programme I've really seen it come to life. It's been a very positive experience, a coalition of the willing, as it would be. And we've built in that collaboration and that coalition, joint working right from the beginning. It's definitely got us to create something that's greater than the sum of its parts. I don't think we would have got to where we are now by working on our own little projects. I certainly believe that the collaboration, which is the golden thread throughout the whole thing, has developed something that's really powerful and will have a legacy.
Now, my final question for you is, if a colleague of yours says to you that they're going to be taking part in an evaluation and joining an evaluation working group, would you have any advice for them before they got started?
I would advise them to make sure that they've got the time to contribute to it. Evaluation isn't something that should be taken lightly, and there should be. You have to have the time to partake and make sure that you're doing your homework, as it would be. My advice would be to go in there with an open perspective, and hopefully they'll be lucky enough to have a collaborative approach like we have here. By going in there with an open perspective, they'll be able to learn as they go along and hopefully make a really positive contribution.
That was Daniel reflecting on the collaborative nature of evaluation and the importance of building legacy through learning. Now let's hear from Sally, whose practical experience in developing and sustaining volunteer services offers a powerful perspective on how evaluation can drive real change, both in service delivery and in volunteer engagement.
My name is Sally Dyson. I'm a volunteer services manager at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital. My role within Volunteering for Health is to work with the Volunteering Development Manager to share best practice from the Norfolk and Norwich and the successful volunteering programme we've got at the Norfolk and Norwich to enable her to cascade that best practice out to GP surgeries and dental surgeries across Norfolk.
So this conversation is particularly about how we evaluate volunteering programmes. Could you give us an idea of your experience evaluating volunteering previously?
The position I was in at the Norfolk and Norwich was that I gained the volunteer service quite under-resourced initially. And one thing I knew I had to do was try to sort of promote and prove the value of volunteering in the organisation. The way I went about that was initially applying for external funding and then looking at how I could use impact and insight of volunteer experience to actually then apply for permanent funding. So data collection and evaluation was incredibly important. It was the basis of what built the volunteer program here at NNUH. I went about that by basically looking at what I felt the organization needed to know, needed to hear, and was interested in hearing, and what would actually influence them to invest in the program in future. Two ways. I used quantitative data. So how many volunteers we were able to recruit with any resources that I'd managed to acquire from my external funding. And then the qualitative impact on the organisation. So how it benefited our patients, obviously our volunteers. A lot of our volunteers are our patients, and how volunteering could improve their health and well-being. But also a little bit around financial savings, because although we don't like to talk about volunteering from a financial perspective, there are certain people within the organisation that do love to see the financial impact volunteering is having.
How similar do you think the data collection that you've done previously will be for the data collection in volunteering health?
I think it'll be very similar. I think, and there's so many ways to evaluate volunteering. And I think when we're looking at involving organisations that perhaps haven't been experienced with volunteers previously, we need to sell it to them. And I think looking at some of the evaluation that we have, everybody's going to look at volunteering in a different way. And I think everybody's going to have their own reasons and motivations for involving volunteering. It could be that they're interested in financial savings. It could be that they're interested in their patient experience. It could be that they're interested in improving health outcomes of their patients. And I think because we've got such a wealth of different data collection available and experience of data collection available, I think we can tailor that to meet each organisation's motivations.
With that broad range of data and interest that you've just mentioned, do you foresee any challenges in gathering the data that we need, or have you had any learning from the previous evaluations you've been involved in?
I think the most difficult thing is actually proving that volunteering has had the overall outcome. It's often very easy to demonstrate that volunteers have contributed towards improvements, but it's very hard to prove that volunteers have had an overall contribution to an improvement, because volunteers are not necessarily involved in the whole pathway. They might just be involved in a very small pathway of a project or whatever it is we're targeting. We have to be very careful that the evaluation is about just the part the volunteering is actually contributing. And that's always the challenge, I think, is working out how you can actually then equate that to the overall outcome.
And thinking from the perspective of a volunteer, have you had any feedback about how they feel about the data collection or monitoring that's done?
Yeah, so volunteers want to feel that they've made a difference. They don't necessarily join an organisation to worry about whether we're collecting data. I think what they're coming with their own reasons and their own motivations, and they want to give back, or they're interested in a particular area of the hospital that they feel they want to give back to. And data is a bit secondary to the volunteers. But at the same time, with most of our volunteer roles, we do try and have a sort of fairly regular catch up with the groups of volunteers to actually feed back to them the data that we've collected and the difference that they've made. And I think it's really good for them to see that what they're coming and providing for us is actually making a difference to either our patients or our staff or just our hospital in general. And even those volunteers that perhaps weren't particularly interested in, or felt they weren't interested in data in the beginning, suddenly become quite interested because they're actually quite motivated by the fact that their time is well spent.
For those of the volunteers who maybe are a little bit more reluctant to begin with, have you found any creative ways or approaches so that those volunteers do feel invested?
I think it's about sharing with them the reasons why we want the data. They're always very supportive of a cause. Most volunteers are quite supportive of a particular cause or the hospital in general. And I think if we can share with them to start with that we have this particular pinch point within the organisation, that we're having difficulty in meeting our expectations of our patients or our targets, and we think volunteering can really make a difference, that we really need to measure how that impact of that. Most volunteers will get the bit between the teeth and help us achieve that, but I think they've got to see a reason for it, and I think providing that reason in the onset is really important.
Do you have any examples where that data collection has really made an improvement to a service or influenced change?
Really, most of my services, but probably the biggest one has been our volunteer driver scheme. We started the volunteer driver scheme with some external funding, which provided me with a coordinator. We managed to persuade our internal hospital charity to provide some vehicles for us. And it initially was just a 6-month pilot because we didn't have funding to continue the project long term. However, the benefit to the patients, the experience the patients were feeding back to us, that the, you know, the drivers were friendly, they were upbeat, they might have a sing song on the way home, they were having a lovely experience of being discharged from hospital. Plus the bed saving times, we had examples of where a patient was perhaps told they could go home at 9 o'clock in the morning, but family couldn't collect them till perhaps 6-7 o'clock in the evening when they finished work. By taking that patient home at 9 o'clock in the morning, we were saving bedtime. We were freeing up the bed for nearly a whole day. We then had lots of feedback about not just the financial benefits, because obviously the financial benefits were huge to the organisation by freeing up that bedtime, but also patients previously perhaps going home in a taxi. So it was looking at the taxi spends. So we started to record things like if we knew this patient was going to go home in a taxi, if we didn't take them, we equated that cost saving to whatever that taxi would have cost. For the bedtime, we equated it to the cost of a bed. And we were able to put together a really good financial demonstration of how that service had saved the organisation money. And of course, going back to the original point, the patient experience of that drive home as well, and getting them home in a timely manner and not having to sit around in hospital all day waiting for somebody to come and collect them. But yeah, it was very impactful. And the result of that was the service was substantiated. A really big win all around.
Fantastic. We talked a lot about data, thinking about numbers, finances, etc. But of course, in an evaluation, gathering qualitative data like personal story and case study is also really impactful. How do you find the balance for that in your work?
We align directly to our patient experience and engagement board. So we are very much all about patient experience, and we're all about holistic feedback from our patients. We're always looking for patients' feedback on the services we provide. We look at lived experience of volunteers so that we can actually share their experience to enhance patient experience. I guess we feature very much on that holistic side of things. We report to the Patient Experience and Engagement Board every 6 months. The one thing that they love is a good story. So we always try and make sure that all our reports, although we've got lots of quantitative data on there, we also have some lovely stories. We use patient feedback, we use staff feedback, we use family feedback, and we produce that in a report on a 6-monthly basis so that people can actually see the whole story of the effect of the volunteer programme.
At the moment, we're at the very beginning of the evaluation process for Volunteering for Health. Do you have any hopes or expectations for the programme and the evaluation itself?
I suppose my hopes really would be that we've got enough experience and best practice to share from what we've achieved already through evaluation for each of the organisations we work with going forward to get what they want from their volunteering programme. And that's going back to individual motivation again. So why are they involving volunteers? What do they hope to achieve from involving volunteers? I know we will have an evaluation process available to help them achieve that. And I'm just hoping that will ensure that the programs are embedded quickly and that they see the value quickly. And that ultimately that will encourage other organizations to get involved and come on board.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Volunteering Discovery podcast. A big thank you to Daniel and Sally for sharing their time. As we've heard today, evaluation isn't just about numbers. It's about stories, relationships, and making sure we're learning as we go. Whether it's shaping services, securing funding, or simply showing volunteers the impact of their time, thoughtful evaluation helps us build stronger, more responsive programs. If you haven't already, do check out part one of this series for more on the process side of evaluation. And stay tuned for future episodes where we'll continue exploring important themes of volunteering for health and meeting volunteers who gift their time. Until next time, thank you.
Please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review this podcast. It all helps people find us and spread the word about volunteering. This podcast was produced for the Norfolk and Waveney Integrated Care System by Hospital Radio Norwich. Hosted by Sarah Briggs. Producer was Jules Alderson. Original music composed and performed by Philip Aldred. Interviews by Sarah Briggs and Jules Alderson.